are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us. We are indeed thankful for the privilege of sharing the Way of Truth broadcast with you from week to week. We know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is what this old sinful world needs, and we are endeavoring to do our best to reach souls with the gospel. So we are thankful that you are with us, and we are trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast service to you a real blessing today.
When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace, on Mount Calvary take my place. Then I ask myself the question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he go, for who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I leave thee never. Just be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son, to fight my battles until they're won, for who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will, thine for? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he'd go, for who am I?
Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the love of God that brought Jesus into this world to be our precious Savior, our Redeemer. We know that this is because you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but should have everlasting life. Surely we do thank you for that great love. And we know that you are no respecter of persons. You love everyone. So we're asking thy blessings upon our congregation today. We're trusting that this broadcast service will be a blessing to precious souls, an encouragement to them as they endeavor to live for Thee and to please Thee. We pray that You will move in our midst. Glorify Yourself through this broadcast. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you, and we do trust it is proving to be a blessing to you. At the close of our broadcast today, we will be giving you our mailing address, and we would be thankful if you would take time to write and let us know that our broadcast service is a blessing to you. For the next two broadcasts, I want to bring you some thoughts concerning our homes. And on today's broadcast, our thoughts are entitled, God Loves Families. We read in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Anyone who knows anything about God and His Word knows He loves families. So let us consider some ways we know this. First of all, God created the physical family. Have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Those are the words of the Lord Jesus, as recorded by Matthew chapter 19, verses 4, 5, and 6. So God's plan is for marriage to last until death. Let me repeat that. God's plan is for marriage to last until death. Thus, God has provided the ideal arrangement for children in which they are to be born, from the union of two who have become one flesh. And God has never taken two men and made them one flesh, and he's never taken two women and made them one flesh. God made them male and female, and he made them one flesh through holy matrimony. Now the children are to grow and benefit from what both father and mother have to offer. God ordained that the father and mother provide for their children. Paul said, "But if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." So we read in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. He charges that families provide for their widows also. And we read this in 1 Timothy 5 and 4. And when it comes to teaching the children, we need to teach them Christian values. Oh yes, there's a lot of things you might want to teach your children, but when it comes to eternal matters, you want to teach your children Christian values. And I would like to mention five key values. First of all, the God of the Bible is the only true God. Yes, the God of the Bible is the only true God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I know that there are many gods in the world. In fact, the Old Testament speaks about various gods, and he said the gods of the nations are but idols. And that was one of Israel's weaknesses. Many times when they would get away from God, they would turn to idols. And people went to extreme in devotion to their idols, even to offering their children to idols. And the idols, as the Bible plainly states, and of course the common sense tells us, they can't see, they can't hear, they can't move, they can't do anything. If they're moved, you move them around. So we read here in Deuteronomy 6 and 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." There is one God. Yes, I am God, and besides me, there is no other. And it is the responsibility of parents to teach their children the one true God, and also that the one true God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in them should not perish, but should have everlasting life. We should love God with our whole being. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Again, Deuteronomy, this time chapter 5 or 6 and verse 5. Now, it's not enough just to teach the children with your mouth that they should love God, but you should show them the love of God by living for God yourself, by manifesting your love to God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And so we are to show our children that we love God by the life that we live. And one of the ways that we can show them genuine love is by loving our children and expressing God's love to them through our own lives. We should obey God's commands. Always, for God's commands are not grievous, they are for our good. God has never given a command that was not good for the people. He makes no requirements of us that is not good for us. So God's commands should be obeyed. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and this time verses 6 and 7. Well, as we read this passage of Scripture, or these two verses of Scripture, we see that it is, in effect, a full-time job. These words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. One of the great needs in our nation and world today is the family worship. As families get away from the practice of family worship, we see sin increasing in the land. Something parents need to remember and also teach their children: God must come first in our life. That's the fourth point that I want to mention in regard to the 5 points that I earlier mentioned. Something that parents should always remember, and that is to teach their children, God must come first in our life. Jesus said, except you love me more than you do husband and wife, father and mother, brother and sister, even yea, your own life, if you don't love me more, you cannot be my disciple. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So we read in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And number 5, teach your children regular church attendance. If you have a place to go where the truth of the gospel is preached, teach your children to attend regularly. And don't just send them off to Sunday school. Take them. And don't just send them to services. Take them. Be an example. Worship God, serve God, love God yourself, and teach your children to love God and to serve God. And part of our serving God, part of our worshiping God, is regular attendance at the house of worship where the truth of the gospel is preached. Now, there's some counsel I'd like to give, especially to parents. Make sure that you truly have the values that you wish to instill in the lives of your children. Constantly relate God's Word to every aspect of your child's daily life. Yes, constantly relate God's Word to every aspect of your child's daily life. Do not fill their minds with a lot of foolishness, and things will be detrimental and harmful to them. But teach them the value of righteousness, of purity, of holiness, and fill your children's minds, as it were, with the Word of God, and make various things apply to the things of God and to the Word of God. The Apostle Paul said, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And again, you should schedule regular times of family worship with your children. Read them some good Bible story. There are Bible story books that can be bought that contain the truth of the gospel, and that should be a part of your family worship, as well as reading from the Holy Bible. I have an article before me that I would like to quote some from. Henry Grady, the Southern statesman, stood one day on the steps of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. He was talking with a senator friend who remarked with a flourish of his legislative arm toward the dome of the nation's capital, "Here, Mr. Grady, is the heartthrob of America." A few days later, Henry Grady made his way out among the red hills of Georgia to a farmer's little home, where he joined the family for their dinner. It was a humble place, no marble floors, no Corinthian columns, no other signs of Greek architecture, in the little clapboard house, the farmer, with his wife and children, gathered around the table to enjoy a simple menu. But before they began to eat, the farmer asked the children to bow their heads for prayer. At the end of the meal, the farmer called for the family Bible to be brought in. He read a passage, then united his children at the family altar. Henry Grady went back to the office in Atlanta and wrote a letter to his friend in Washington. "You are wrong," he said. "The heartthrob of America is not in the Capitol building at Washington, D.C., but in the thousands of Christian homes which bless our land." By weakening, and I'm continuing quoting from this article, "by weakening the pillars of the home in the interests of the state, ancient Greece sealed its doom. The civilization of Rome could not endure because of corrupt families. The destiny of our own nation is silently woven with threads spun in the narrow confines of family circles. Blame what you will for the ills of society, educational systems, churches, our youth, but an honest diagnosis eventually points the finger back to home. Our problems stem from prodigal families, families that have left home. If we solve that problem, we can solve all other problems. If the family doesn't come home, it will continue to feed on the husk and slop of the world's hog troughs. Homes need to bring the Bible back into use. Homes need time dedicated to family, time to play and pray together. Home needs a living and loving Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And homes need godly, dedicated, consistent, living mothers and fathers. During the last two decades, some social experts have been saying that traditional families, households having both a father and mother, are no longer important. In some cases, these contenders for radical change vigorously argue that having both a father and mother in a home is not only unnecessary, but also sometimes harmful. This ridiculous thinking has extremely harmful effects on families and society. The secular media has repeated these faulty ideas again and again, and as usual, brainwashed the public, many of whom thoughtlessly believe the fantasy that traditional families are unimportant. Growing numbers of men and women promote this ungodly approach to life, but in reality, any philosophy undermining the family is wrong. According to a study published in the Journal of Research in Crime and Delinquency, the best indicator of violent crime in a community isn't a race, income, or employment, but the proportion of fatherless families. Today, 40% of children live in fatherless homes. Boys in such homes have no proper role model for being a father, and girls have no proper concept of what to expect of a good husband. Collectively, they constitute fissionable materials. The inner cities are already well past critical mass, with illegitimacy approaching 80% in these areas. The Family Research Council cites impressive data on the connection between fatherless families and crime. Studies show the following. 60% of violent rapists were from single-parent households. 72% of adolescent murderers have divorced or never married mothers. 70% of juveniles in long-term correctional facilities did not live with their fathers growing up. When fathers do not assume responsibility and leadership, when they fail true masculinity, they force mothers to completely take over the father's responsibility of leadership in their sons' and daughters' lives. This reversal of sex roles creates many psychological and sociological problems. Though not their own fault, such mothers cannot model proper relationship between father and mother. One person observed, even though he may be a senator, governor, college president, or industrialist, a man may make his most significant contribution to his country by the kind of job he does as a father. The same importance needs to be attached to the kind of job mothers do as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing this gospel broadcast with this precious people, and we trust the Holy Spirit has accompanied it and made it a blessing to souls. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It would be an encouragement to us if you would take time to write and let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Now our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may listen to a number of our broadcasts if you have missed some by going to our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the broadcast. We invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.